Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, January 22nd, 2023, Romans.
All right, before we get started, today is your birthday. Little Jer's birthday is today. Now, the only problem is the Cahoons have been coming here for 100 years. He used to be Little Jer. He used to be Big Jer. We're changing it. You're young Jer. You're old fart. Old fart Jer. I say that because he gave me a birthday card. He's the one right down here that said if in horse years you'd be glue. So you are old fart, Jer. Young Jer, old fart, Jer. Although I have used that when we go out to dinner, I've had my birthday month and gone to a lot of restaurants, and all the waiters, they do love that too. There's a guy in my church, you're so old, if you were a horse, you'd be glue. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. The great chapter of justification and much more. Romans 5. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5. What a great chapter. Started out with the first paragraph, verses 1 through 5, the results of justification. And then in the rest of Romans chapter 5, we have four much mores. Chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, the much more of justification. Chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, the much more of reconciliation. And then we have the great paragraph, verses 13 to 17, and we have parenthetical much mores. And then we conclude the chapter in verses 18 to 21 with the much more of grace. Now, in Romans 5, 6 through 9, we have already studied the first much more, the much more of justification. And now we're in Romans chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, where we have the second much more, the much more of reconciliation. Verse 10, we've exegeted part of it. It sounds like this so far as we have gone. Now, even though we were enemies, this is enemies of God. And that's the whole human race when we come into the world. At physical birth, we're born physically alive and spiritual death, total depravity. We are sinners, ungodly. We are the enemies of God as unbelievers. Now, even though we were enemies, if we were reconciled to God by means of the spiritual death of His Son, first class condition, and we were reconciled to God by the spiritual death of His Son. And right there we stop to take a look at the doctrine of reconciliation. We have studied the first 7 points of the doctrine of reconciliation. Point one was description, and reconciliation is stated as a doctrine in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19, Ephesians 2, verses 13 to 18, Colossians 1, 19 to 22. Part of the salvation work of Jesus Christ on the cross is reconciliation. All believers are reconciled to God the moment they believe in Jesus Christ. But the work of reconciliation actually took place on the cross. Point two is definition. Reconciliation is that category of soteriology which explains the removal of the barrier between God and mankind through the salvation work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Point three, church age believers as royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ, have been given a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. And the ministry of reconciliation is tantamount to the function of witnessing for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 21. Point four, the salvation work of Christ on the cross is the basis for reconciliation. Ephesians 2, 15 and 16 in our passage, Romans 5, 10 through 12. Point five, peace is a synonym for reconciliation. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, because we were justified by faith, that's faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, we have peace with God. That is reconciliation. And point six, is the barrier between God and man. And for the sake of illustration, we considered the barrier to be composed of bricks. 6 bricks. The first brick is the barrier is sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of or miss the mark of the glory of God. That is the absolute righteousness of God. And sin was removed through the doctrines of redemption and unlimited atonement. The second brick is the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, that's spiritual death. And the penalty of sin was removed by expiation. Expiation speaks of the substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross. The third brick is our physical birth. We are born with a body and a soul, which is, we are born dichotomous. And since we are born dichotomous with a body and a soul, we have no relationship with God, no fellowship with God. And that is solved through regeneration. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. So that now the believer in Jesus Christ is trichotomous, body, soul, and human spirit. Now he has the basis for relationship with and fellowship with the living and true God. The fourth brick is man's relative righteousness, minus R. And man's relative righteousness is resolved by imputation and justification. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father imputes his righteousness to the believer and delivers him and declares him to be absolute righteousness or justified. This justification is by faith in Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. The fifth brick is the holiness of God, or the character of God. That is the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. And the character of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, is resolved by the doctrine of propitiation. To propitiate means to satisfy. Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. He satisfied the righteousness of the Father because he was absolute righteousness. He satisfied the justice of the Father by bearing our sins in his body on the cross, as well as the judgment for those sins. The sixth brick is man's position in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die. Our position in Adam is resolved by our position in Christ. To live with God forever, we must possess his perfect righteousness and his eternal life. Only a new position in Christ can guarantee justification and eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So that's the six bricks of the barrier that reconciliation has removed. Point seven, the doctrinal application of reconciliation in your spiritual life is impersonal love for all, and we studied this in Ephesians 4:1-3. That is, since all members of the royal family of God have been reconciled to God at the moment of salvation, likewise, all members of the body of Christ should be reconciled to one another. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your hearts. Virtue love includes personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Impersonal love removes barriers in human relationships, and we're going to look at that in a little more detail when we get to point nine. Aha, we've only had seven, so we got eight and nine till to go. The reconciliation and the removal of barriers in human relationship is a very important part of impersonal love for all. Well, that brings us to point eight, so that's where we start this morning. Point eight, reconciliation has removed all racial prejudice and discrimination. Reconciliation has removed all racial prejudice and discrimination. And you can tell that we have a major, major, major problems in the United States of America. And you can see it all over the world. First of all, there is anti-Semitism. And anti-Semitism is becoming greater and greater and greater all over planet Earth, in the United States of America. And it's a hatred for the Jewish people. Trying to blame the Jews, and this has been going on, Satan's been doing this for a long, long time, trying to blame the Jews for everything. And anti-Semitism is a great evil. Don't you ever, ever have any anti-Semitic tendencies or thinking. That is 100% wrong. And you, when you start getting into blaming the Jews and anti-Semitism, well, you're thinking exactly the way the ruler of this world, the devil, thinks. And his objective is to destroy all Jews from the face of the earth. And he will try to do that in the tribulation. We're living in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. But in the tribulation, following the rapture, the restraining ministry of the Spirit is stopped. In the church age, the restraining ministry of the Spirit is operating through believers, through the pivot. But the pivot, we're all gone at the rapture. The restraining ministry of the Spirit is stopped. And the Antichrist will come on the scene, the world dictator. And his objective is to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. That 7-year tribulation period. We already see that kind of thinking going on right now all over the world. But it's not just anti-Semitism. We have in this country, whiteness is an evil. Now I can see if you say Polacks are evil, I can see that. No, I just kidding. I doubt the joke. Norwegian, we could say Norwegians are evil. Olsen, that's not Polish. But there, this whiteness is evil. Now, all that, what does that do? What does that do? That just creates barriers. You're just building barriers. There is no impersonal love for all. That you want to create problems and create divisions in a nation and destroy a nation, then just go around and do that kind of thing. There's no place for that in the plan of God for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You are in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. You are a new spiritual species. You are the royal family of God. And there, all the barriers have been removed in union with Jesus Christ. So reconciliation has removed all racial prejudice and discrimination. So a couple of things. One, every time you have racial prejudice, you blaspheme God's work of reconciliation. Every time you have racial prejudice, you blaspheme God's work of reconciliation. Two, there is no racial prejudice in the new spiritual species, the royal family of God. We are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And there is no racial prejudice in the new spiritual species, the royal family of God. When you have racial prejudice, you blaspheme the very work of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, and that prepositional phrase, in Christ Jesus, refers to where every one of us as church age believers are. When we come to the cross and place our faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes us and enters us into union with Christ. And that is described as in Christo, en auto, in Christ, in Him. That's a very technical phrase referring to our position in union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment of faith in Christ, from Pentecost to the rapture, every church age believer is baptized into union with Christ. We're a new spiritual species. Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. We're in union with Christ. We are royal family of God. Now, there was regeneration all throughout human history, family of God. We are royal family of God because never before in human history is every believer entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. It only began in this dispensation, the church age, from Pentecost to the rapture. So we are in union with Jesus Christ. We're in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. We are a new spiritual species. We are the royal family of God. So in Ephesians 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ, as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, His salvation work of Christ on the cross. For He Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our reconciliation, peace. This is peace, is a technical term for reconciliation. He Himself is our peace, our reconciliation, who made both Gentiles and Jews. Now that's the whole human race. The whole human race is included here, Gentiles and Jews, who has made both Gentiles and Jews one, a new spiritual species, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, establishing peace, reconciliation, establishing reconciliation. Reconciliation has removed all racial prejudice and discrimination. There is no place for that. Not in the spiritual life. If you have racial prejudice and discrimination, you have no spiritual life. God has given you one, but you're not living it. Instead of living the spiritual life, you're living in Satan's cosmic system. But the spiritual life, there is no place for racial prejudice and discrimination in the spiritual life that God has given to us in the church age. So everybody wants to use the race card. All the politicians want to use the race card. That is evil. That's wrong. There's no place for that. That does nothing but create division, and it'll eventually lead to civil war. There's no place for that. As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, there's no place for that, for any of you to have that. So that's point eight. Reconciliation has removed all racial prejudice and discrimination. Nine. The doctrinal application of reconciliation is the fact that for believers, barriers, and we'll take a look at those barriers, different categories. Barriers between man and man have been removed. The doctrinal application of reconciliation is the fact that for believers in Jesus Christ, barriers between man and man have been removed. So let's amplify that. Subpoint one, in addition to the barrier between God and man, there exists a number of barriers between man and man. In addition to the barrier between God and man, with Jesus Christ removed by His work on the cross, there exists a number of barriers between man and man. Now we'll give you some of those barriers, racial barriers, which was included in point 8. Racial barriers, there has been racial prejudice since the flood, and there will always be racial prejudice where there are unbelievers and old sin natures are out of control. There are also religious barriers. Religious barriers. There are many world religions. Impersonal love for all handles the problem of religious barriers. Now listen, without succumbing to or being influenced by religion. There are many world religions. Impersonal love for all handles the problem of religious barriers without succumbing to or being influenced by religion. Now, there was a fellow at the Washington State University when I was going to Wazoo. He was a football player and a believer in Jesus Christ, and he was in a class on campus. They were studying the religions of the world. And the professor had somebody come in and speak about all the religions of the world. The professor knew who to bring in for all the religions. He just didn't know who to bring in for Christianity. So Bill Moose gave me a call. He said, "Dick, I know you spoke to our football team and you gave your testimony and you gave the gospel to our football team." He says, "We're studying the religions of the world and our professor doesn't know who to bring in to talk about Christianity." And so I asked him, I said, "Well, there's a fella who came and talked to our football team. Could he come in and speak to our class?" And he said, "You could. Your professor said I can come into your class and talk about Christianity? This is legal?" I said, "Okay, I'd be glad to." So I was the professor that day. And I got up in front, and the class was absolutely packed. And I said, "I was told that you are studying the religions of the world. And I was asked to come and speak about Christianity. And frankly, I shouldn't even be here because Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a personal relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ, entered into by faith in Him. But it's not a religion. There are religions all over the world, and all those religions around the world, you have to do this and this and this and this, and maybe you can get to what they call heaven. But it depends on your works. Doing this, do this, do this, do this, maybe you can get to heaven, what they call heaven." I said, "Christianity is just the opposite. God says that mankind is spiritually dead, totally depraved, and that we can't do anything. We can't do anything to earn our way into heaven. Not one thing. And therefore, God did all the work for us. God the Father planned salvation. God the Son executed on the cross. God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us." Well, I taught, when I got done at the end of that class, people started raising their hand. And by the way, all the questions, nobody was being arrogant. Nobody was trying to put me down. Here were all these people in there, and they wanted to know what the Bible said about this, and what the Bible said about that, and what the Bible said about this. And so they asked, "Dick, what does the Bible say about..." And so I said, "Well, you have Bibles here? Turn over your Bible here." And then, "Dick, what does the Bible say about this?" "Well, turn over here and go..." They kept me there for the entire hour asking questions about, they were good questions. They were great questions. And turn here, turn there. And you know why that was so important in my own personal life? Because I didn't realize I had been attending a local church, Bethany Bible Church, Pastor Ron Breckel, graduate of Dallas Seminary, pastor. I didn't realize how much I had been growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Until they started asking question after question after question. I said, well, turn here, turn here, turn here. At the end of the class, it was just phenomenal. On the way back to my dorm, Stevenson South, on the way back, I'm talking out loud. I'm going, Father, that was so awesome. That was so great. Oh, Father, I would like to do that the rest of my life. But you see, I'm Norwegian. So I had to go quite a ways farther before the light went on. The light went on. I go, this is it. This is what you want me to do the rest of my life. I ran all the way back to my dorm, got on the phone, called Pastor Breckel. I said, Ron, you might think I'm crazy. And he said, yeah, I do think you're crazy. But you might think I'm crazy, but I think I have the gift of pastor teacher. He said, Dick, I know you have the gift of pastor teacher, but I can't tell you that. Only God can tell you that. And then I explained what just happened. He said, come over right now. We'll fill out an application for Dallas Theological Seminary. Did? Well, the rest is history. By the way, that fella, Bill Moose, who played for football for the Washington State Cougar football team, he went on to become athletic director at the University of Oregon and then athletic director at Washington State University and then athletic director at University of Nebraska. When he was athletic director at the University of Oregon, our sons, Derek and Dave, were playing for the UNLV Running Rebels, and they were playing Oregon State in Corvallis. Well, you got to understand, Corvallis is very small. Eugene is very small. So Oregon and Oregon State are in real small towns. Corvallis, there's no place to stay, so we stayed in Eugene. And I said, you know what? Bill Moose is the athletic director at the University of Oregon. They have a game today. Before we go to watch the boys play, let's just go. I'd like to talk to Bill Moose. I want to just tell him how God used him. So we went into the University of Oregon, and I asked if Bill Moose was there. They said, yes, he's in a special meeting. I said, well, just tell him that Dick Olson is here. I said, don't have him do anything special, but just tell him Dick Olson's here. I mean, in 5 minutes, here comes Bill Moose down, shaking my hand. Dick, this is so great for you to be here. You want to watch the game? I'll put you in my box. And I said, no, we're going to go watch our own sons play at the Corvallis, Oregon State. I said, I just wanted to tell you, God used you. When you asked me to speak in that class on campus about you were studying the religions of the world and you needed somebody to talk about Christianity, and I was there and I taught, and you were there, and all the people asking all those questions, God used you to make it clear to me that I had the gift of pastor teacher. I went on to Dallas Theological Seminary, prepared for the ministry, and now I'm a pastor of a local church in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I said, I just wanted you to know God used you. God used you in my life just by you calling and asking me to come and speak to your class. And here is this, and Bill Moose is a big guy. And he just, Dick, he says, that is very humbling. He said, He says, you know, I have Christian athletes. He says, I've set that up here at the University of Oregon, and he said, I always make an issue out of Jesus Christ and try to keep that. And I said, well, I just wanted you to know that God has me, a gift for me to teach His Word, but the thing that made it clear to me was when you asked me to speak at your class. So there are religious barriers. There are many world religions. Impersonal love for all handles the problem of religious barriers without succumbing to or being influenced by religion. Christianity is not a religion. Religion has its source, and its source is Satan himself. It is man by man's work trying to gain the approbation of God. But in Christianity, God seeks man through the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Any system of salvation by works or spirituality by works is the infiltration of religion into Christianity. And there are cultural barriers. We have all grown up under different cultures. There are social barriers. Sometimes these are only in the minds of people. Sometimes they are actually exist in reality. There are political barriers. We disagree violently on politics. There are personality barriers. There are ideological barriers. Believers are socialists, capitalists, empiricists, rationalists, and every other kind of ist. There are language barriers. There are sexual barriers. So all of that, that's point one. In addition to the barrier between God and man, there exists a number of barriers between man and man. Two. In positional sanctification, being in union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that removes all barriers between believer and believer. In positional sanctification, being in union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit removes all barriers between believer and believer. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, the baptism of the Spirit, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So in positional sanctification, being in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit removes all barriers between believer and believer. Three, in experiential sanctification, that is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, removes all barriers through impersonal love for all. In experiential sanctification, living the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age, by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God, executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, Having virtue love brought to completion in your heart removes all barriers through impersonal love for all. 4. Therefore, reconciliation to God by faith in Jesus Christ is the basis for removing the barrier between man and God, a reality of salvation, removed the moment we believe in Christ, and the barrier between believer and believer is a potential and is removed by living the spiritual life, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, impersonal love for all. So therefore, reconciliation to God by faith in Jesus Christ is the basis for removing, first of all, the barrier between man and God, a reality of salvation is it's removed the moment we believe in Christ, and second, the barrier between believer and believer, which is a potential and is removed by living the spiritual life, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, impersonal love for all. So, verse 10, that's the doctrine of reconciliation. Verse 10, as far as we have gone, sounds like this. Now, even though we were enemies, that's our status as unbelievers, we all come into the world physically alive, spiritually dead, we are unbelievers, we are enemies of God. Now, even though we were enemies as unbelievers, if we were reconciled to God by means of the spiritual death of His Son, first class condition, and we were reconciled to God by the spiritual death of His Son, much more, here it is, much more being reconciled. This is the dative singular of the adjective polos plus the adverb malon plus the aorist passive participle of katalasso. Repeated. We've had it twice now in verse 10. The adjective polos P-O-L-U-S polos. Polos means much or many, and then we have the adverb malon, and that is the comparative of the adverb mala. So, malon looks like that, M-A-L-L-O-N, malon. That's the comparative, you know, positive, comparative, superlative, good, gooder, and goodest. You know that. You got that. Well, this is the comparative of the adverb mala. It means more. And when you have this together, looks like this, Paulo Malone. I might be able to get it up here, yeah. That's P-O-L-L long O-M-A-L-L-O-N, Paulo Malone. When you have this combined, it means to a much greater degree, to a much greater degree or much more. This introduces much more number two, the much more of reconciliation. And then we have the verb katalasso, the same verb we had in the first clause of verse 10, is now repeated. Katalasso is the verb to reconcile someone to someone. It means to change two hostile parties into a state of peace, reconciliation. It means to make peace between two parties. In fact, the Greek word for peace, eirene, is a technical term for the doctrine of reconciliation. To reconcile, then, means to remove the barrier between God and man. The barrier between God and man is so great, it is impossible for man to remove it. It can only be removed by the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation work on the cross. Reconciliation is the salvation work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross directed toward man. So we have Now, even though we were enemies, if we were reconciled to God by means of the spiritual death of His Son, first class condition, and we were reconciled to God by the spiritual death of His Son, how much more, because we were reconciled, and then we will be saved completely in His life. And we'll have to see what that all that means. But we'll take a break, give you a chance to go out and freeze your patootie off, and then get back in here.